You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Well, I want to share with you tonight, really, it's probably one of my most favorite passages or stories that Jesus shares. It's probably the most popular too. Anyway, let's do that. It's in Luke chapter 15, reading from verse 11 through to 32. So I'm going to read very quickly. It's the story of the prodigal son. I shared a little bit with the music team on Tuesday, a fortnight ago. So let's just read from verse 11. It says, "Then he said," Jesus, "a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to make merry. Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" I've entitled tonight's message, "What Matters Most?" What matters most? Father, I thank you tonight for your word. I pray that that you would move on this word. We thank you and we acknowledge your presence in this place. And Holy Spirit, we give you license to touch lives, to impact lives, to challenge, to empower us, and we thank you for that tonight. Let my words be your words and yours alone. And we thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. So this is an incredible story. And I think it was either James or might have been Wilson, I'm not sure. One of the very first messages I heard when I came here was this particular story, and it's amazing. When you're in God, I guess God just opens things up to you, and I just saw this, and I've been wanting to share this for months and months and months. And I just, well, God knows when he wants it to be shared. And I just want to just bring some things out to you, I guess, as we sort of walk our way through this particular passage. And I pray that it'll be a blessing to you and will challenge you. But let's look at the younger son for a start. His statement, you know, give me this portion. Give what is mine. Give me my stuff, he's saying. I can do this better than you. He didn't say that, but I wonder whether that was the case. Give me this, you know, and I look at it, and I've heard this shared from many different angles, I guess. I've heard it shared that it was like a rags to riches kind of story. But really, when you look at it, I don't think it was, because he came out of a very rich environment. The Bible says that. I mean, he had servants at home. So, you know, they were a well-to-do family. So I don't think it was about riches. The boy didn't want riches. I believe he was after power and control. He wanted control. You know, he wanted to set his path. He was already rich at home. We know that. He had servants and so on. And I say this, obviously, when I wrote it down, I run things past Kim. But anyway, I'm going to just say it. And youth is always rebellious and wild, because that's what youth is. It is energy without experience. That's what youth is. And I remember this. We were pastoring, youth pastors, and we had this boy, and he was just, let's just say he was full of energy and definitely lacked experience. But we had this, we were going on a youth outing somewhere, and we pull up to the petrol station. I can still picture it was that scary. We pull up to this petrol station, we fuel up. I was so excited. We had, you know, a lot of youth come. We jump, I go out and pay, and here's Ricky Sim. That's his name, Ricky Sims. I've paid. I'm walking out to the van. I had a van, much to Kim's disgust. But anyway, I had this beautiful van. And I go, and then all of a sudden, at the petrol station, I see this canister spray come out the car. Lights it up. And there's this massive flame coming out at the petrol station. And I'm going, Ricky. And this is at the petrol station. So I get to the car and I'm looking around. I back up. Let's get out of here. Of course, he's having fun. I tell you, freaked me out. I tell you. But I look at this young boy and I think he wants life. You know, he wants to experience life. And he was full of energy and full of life. And that's what you want, you know. Our young people, they were wild. The very first time I took over as youth pastor, I remembered I was so, you know, prepared the message. We'd gone on a barbecue out somewhere. And then I preached. I thought, well, I did pretty good. I think I did pretty good. Well, obviously, you know, you're your best praise guy. And then right at the end, we had a bit of I guess it was an altar call. But I looked back, and at the back, there's two guys having a fight right at that moment. And I felt, oh, wow, why at this moment? My very first preach. It's going to get back to the pastor. Thankfully, the pastor is now my father-in-law. But at the time, you imagine what it's like? There's about 30 or 40 kids there, and there's a Barney, and I've got to go and stop and go to the back and part them. Wow. Amazing. Anyway, so we have the young guy here. He's spoken to his dad and he says, Dad, I want my stuff. Give me my stuff. And we know the story. The Bible says that the father divided to the son, both sons. He divided to them both his livelihood. So we have the young boy. He takes the gift. He walks away from the giver, his dad, not realizing that the gift giver is always greater than the gift. Whenever anyone gives you their stuff, know this, that they are better than their stuff, and that you are getting the least expression of the person that gave it. It's just the gift. It's just the gift. So the young son takes the gift. He walks away from the giver because he didn't realize what mattered most. He didn't realize. He just wanted to taste life, experience it. He wanted to go and do it. And we know the story. He goes and wastes it on prodigal living. The Bible actually says on riotous living. It doesn't actually say prodigal living. It actually says riotous living. The word riotous means excessive. So he goes and lives an excessive life. And we know the story. He loses everything. He loses everything. I wonder, has there ever been a time in your life when you've made a mistake? When you've done something wrong and you wish, oh man, I wish I hadn't have done that. And I look at this boy and the Bible says, but when he came to himself, probably the biggest journey we'll ever make in life is when we face ourselves. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? What I like about this boy is that he had the sense to at least realize. It's interesting, though, eh? When you hit rock bottom, when you hit tough times give you the opportunity to think. It's when you hit rock bottom, you realize you sit there and you begin to assess things. And that's what I like about this boy. He assessed it. He did the maths. He worked it out. He said, man, hang on. Here I am in the pig pen. I'm at rock bottom. And then he begins to work it out. And he begins to think, hang on, our hired servants have food and to spare. And here I am in lack. And he makes the decision. He comes to himself and he says, I am going to go back. And I wonder, I think about church life and I wonder how many issues and problems that people, that I face, if we would just have made the decision there and then and say, if only I'd just done something, you know, if only I'd have just corrected myself and made the decision, I'm going to go back to the start and start again. How many things in our lives that God would have been able to deal with if we had just done that? And that's what I like about this boy. He goes back. He makes a decision. I am better off back home. I'm better off back home. So he makes that decision. He comes to himself. He works it out. And I wonder, as I said, have you ever done something wrong or made a mistake that you've regretted doing? And it can be just as simple as saying, I'm better off back there. I'm going to go back and I'm going to start again. I'm going to start again. You see, pride can often stop us from fixing a problem or an issue. Pride will stop us. If we'll just go back and fix it, whether it's asking for forgiveness or giving forgiveness, it can be that simple. So the younger son goes back to his father. Goes back to his father. Then the Bible says that the father, who was obviously looking for him, saw him from a distance. The Bible says that his father runs out to meet him. Runs out to meet him. He runs out. And he is so excited to see that his son is back. The Bible says that he runs and he falls on his neck and kisses him. And then the Bible says that he is so excited that he rallies the servants around him and he says, give him a ring. You saw that in the passage? The robe and the sandals. The ring, the robe, and the sandals. The ring speaks of position. So as in the Father's eyes, it's as if the Son had not lost his position. He gives him the ring, which means position and power. He then puts the robe on him, which speaks of authority and covering and actually the anointing, like the mantle. It's like nothing had changed. And the sandals, put the sandals on him, speaks of dominion, taking ground, wherever you place your foot. And in God's eyes, I want you to see this, the love of God, God or the Father who runs out, who is a picture of God, by the way, runs out and lavishes love on his Son. What an incredible picture of God. He loves us. He loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your life looks like or has looked like. God loves you so much. He loves me so much. And the Bible says that they began to be merry or make merry. In that verse, it actually says that they killed the fatted calf. Isn't that interesting? That the innocents, there was bloodshed. I often wondered that. Sure, it was a party, but I wonder whether it was this, the shedding of an innocent animal for the covering of the sin. I don't know. I just throw it out there. All I know is they began to make merry. And here comes the older brother. So they're having this party. The older brother comes. And the Bible says, now his oldest son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. What does this mean? I try to put myself in the older son's place. Somehow, I see him there. Imagine you're coming home and then all of a sudden you hear music and you hear dancing. And you're wondering, what is going on? Is that music? Is that dancing? Are they laughing? So I think, because I guess he's a little bit perplexed because he begins to ask people around, what does this mean? And I wonder whether sadness has been a very big part of this home. I just wonder that. The younger son's gone or had gone. One of the things I saw here that I just wanted to share with you tonight is this, that everyone in life, you, me, your neighbors at home, those who don't know God, everyone will have the opportunity to be lost. In fact, everyone in this story was lost or felt a sense of loss. Do you realize that? I mean, do you think the Father wasn't lost knowing that his Son was lost? I see the picture of the Father there as he's looking out for his Son. Do you think the Father could enjoy the palace while his Son was lost? Do you think the older brother wasn't lost in his heart? Do you think the younger son was any better off than the older son who was at the house? The reality of life, friends, is this. That each and every one of us will have an opportunity to be lost and be found. But the truth is this. The Bible says that Jesus came, for the Son of Man came, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's Luke chapter 19. So you might experience some loss. want you to know tonight that Jesus is here to meet that need, to deal with the loss that you may have faced, that you might have gone through. I wonder why God has sort of held me off on this, because it's not the way that I would normally preach this particular passage. Because really, it is a picture of God, the Father. And you think, well, he was never lost. But I want you to see it from just another view, maybe. One thing I do know is that we can all be lost. We can all struggle with life, challenges. And this family appeared no different. And you have the oldest son. He's there. And we know the story. Somebody comes up to him, the servant, he says, they're throwing a party for your brother up there. Your brother's come home. And they've killed a fatted calf and they're having a good time. That's what you hear. And the Bible says that the oldest son got angry. He was angry. So much so, the Bible says that he refused to go in and make merry. I will not. I refuse to. And you know, sometimes we can be like that. Sometimes we can, I just refuse to. I refuse to forgive. I refuse. And then hang up the phone and cry because that person hasn't come. Because pride stops us. And that's what stopped the older brother. I refuse to. And he, obviously the father explains to him. He comes out. He's wondering why the older brother isn't there. He isn't there to enjoy the coming back of his brother. And the father says, son, which I spoke to the worship team a couple of weeks back. He says, son, your brother has come back. All that I have is yours. It was always yours. Come. Come and let's make merry. It was always yours. What I spoke to the music team about was oftentimes, I wonder, somehow there was a break in communication. Somehow the older son didn't get what the father had said. Somehow in his thinking, he didn't realize the depth of God's love for him. Something was missing. The message didn't get through. Somehow there was a communication breakdown where the son did not get that all that the father had was his. Friends, just in closing, I just want to say that we live in a broken world. Have the answer, and that answer is Jesus Christ. He came, he gave his life, he laid down so that you and I not only can walk free, but we have the ability to lead others to freedom. Even the Son sets free, is free indeed. He has come to set us free.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.